Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to EPC Industries Limited Q3 FY19 results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. In this call, the forward-looking statements may be based on certain assumptions and expectations of future events. Actual performance, results, or achievements, and risks and opportunities may differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. The company assumes no responsibility to publicly amend, modify, or revise any forward-looking statements on the basis of any subsequent developments, information, or events. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Sharma, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and a good evening to all of you, and a very warm welcome to the first investor call for EPC Industries. In the past, I have been requested by many of you that we should have a regular investor call after the results, so I'm happy to be here today and share with you the financial performance of our company for Q3. Before I do that, since it's the first call for us, I'll just give a quick background about the company and about Mahindra's long-term vision and how we believe that EPC is so critical for achieving our long-term vision. For Mahindra's agribusiness, the prime vision for us is about delivering farm prosperity, and for us, it's very important that we contribute to the nation's mission of improving agriculture productivity and offer new technologies and services to help our farmers. So with this vision, Mahindra invested in EPC, a micro-irrigation company. We hold around 54.7% equity, and EPC as a company has been known for its high-quality products, and in the last few years, the EPC management team has been focusing on increasing the farmers' knowledge, awareness about micro-irrigation, and by support through agronomy, we are helping the farmers to adopt this precision farming technology to improve their productivity and help them grow the crops in a more effective manner. As a strategy, we have been focusing on certain markets, and in these markets, we have been putting more efforts, more resources to spread the benefits of micro-irrigation and the unique benefits of EPC products. We have close to 200 demonstration plots where we work with farmers to try out new ways of farming, encourage new crops, encourage better practices, and demonstrate to the farmers that how by using micro-irrigation, they can get significant benefits. Well, that was just a short introduction about the company. Now, let me come quickly on the results for the quarter. You may have a chance to go through the financial results. Quarter three for us has been the best-ever quarter. As you have seen from the financials, we have a revenue growth of 42.5% and cumulative for the year, 43.6%. During the last 9 months, we have seen some escalation in the cost, in the raw material cost. There has been an impact of increase in crude oil price. There's also been an overall increase in demand in markets like China, impacting the overall cost of the raw material, HDPE and LLDPE, which is the major raw material for us. But it's interesting to note that by managing our product mix, by focusing on productivity improvement, and we also commissioned our new facility in Gujarat, which has resulted in saving of logistics cost, and other such measures have helped us to maintain our gross contribution at last year's level. In terms of expenses, there is a slight increase as a percentage points for expenses. This is largely due to the selling and distribution cost we have to incur in certain markets, and as part of our strategy, we are focusing on southern markets, which has resulted in a higher sales and distribution cost. And as you can see from the results, as far as the PBT is concerned, we have had a growth of 36% on the quarter. And of course, compared to last year, the growth is much higher, but we must keep in mind that last year we had a very muted quarter two due to the GST transition, which actually went up to almost October of last year. In terms of working capital, we are in line with our expectations, and we are quite happy with this performance because our strategy of offering service to the farmers in terms of agronomy and product installation and focusing on quality is helping us to get better farmer acceptance. And our cost control measures also, we are focusing. Every month there are targets for improvement, and step by step we are seeing efficiencies coming in. I don't have too much to speak at this point of time. I'll be happy to answer a few questions, and also if there are some suggestions, I look forward to that.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star then one. The first question is from the line of Viraj Kacharia from Securities Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Excuse me, this is the operator. Mr. Kacharia, your voice is not audible. May we request you to use a handset, please?
Yeah, I'm not really using the handset. Is it audible now?
Yeah. We can hear you, Viraj.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just had a couple of questions from my side. First is, you know, if you look at this particular quarter in specific, you know, we're doing an average quarterly run rate of around 75 crores now. So just want to understand, you know, where we're seeing growth coming for us, you know, which markets are driving this growth. So if you can just provide some color on that, that will be very helpful.
So thanks, Viraj, and appreciate your compliments and your question. So if you look at the way last 9 months to a year for the industry, different states have behaved differently, and as we all know that the whole micro-irrigation business is driven by the state governments and the way they focus on subsidy disbursement and the efficiency of disbursement decides the growth of the state. In the last 12 months what we have seen is markets which were traditionally very active and big contributors to the industry have slowed down a bit. Markets like Maharashtra, Gujarat, they have kind of degrown in the last year. And markets like Andhra, which have always been very active, they continue to remain active and growing well. And the market which we have seen growing faster than normal is actually Tamil Nadu. And also now we are seeing some more interest in markets like Telangana. But I would say Andhra and Tamil Nadu have shown much higher growth compared to the past years. And clearly companies like us, as whole industry also is, you know, skewed towards those markets. Having said that, another interesting development which we are seeing is that markets which were traditionally not actually open to micro-irrigation are showing a lot of interest, and we have a lot of activity happening in markets like Orissa, West Bengal, Jharkhand, Bihar, even UP. So that should be quite interesting. Market like Karnataka, which was a good market till F18, mid F19 was a bit difficult because there were internal challenges. That also had slowed down a bit. So as a result, if you see overall in this year, we would expect that the industry would kind of be anything between 5 to 8% growth over last year. Assuming that there are no major, you know, disturbance in March because of the election code of conduct. Hope that answers your question, Viraj.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to, you know, just dwelling a bit further into that. You know, last year we had this absence of sales in Maharashtra and even to an extent in Madhya Pradesh. Now, these are the markets where traditionally both for the industry and for us has been quite significant, you know, in terms of revenue share in the past. Now, since we have started those markets, you know, one would have assumed that, you know, irrespective of the industry environment, we'd have seen a significantly higher growth rate, both for us at the corporate level and also in those markets. So just to kind of understand, you know, how has our performance in those two markets been? And in times of, you know, when we were kind of temporarily been away from the market because of the old case, you know, how we have gone about ensuring the dealer profitability and visibility of the brand in the market?
So, Viraj, Maharashtra, of course, has been a big market. And in good years, Maharashtra has been around 700 crores per year. But MP is not such a big market. MP is a growing market. It's a much smaller market. And for us, clearly in Maharashtra, since our base was less in the previous year, we have grown well. But the absolute numbers are still on the lower side compared to what we expect from Maharashtra. As far as MP is concerned, we have grown more than 25% this year in MP, and that's very much in line with our plan for the year. But I would just emphasize for us and the industry, South has been, other than Karnataka, more growth in this period. But that does not mean other states will not pick up in the future. It's just a matter of timing and priorities. For example, different states have different priorities at different point of time. So I guess coming in future, there will be states like Maharashtra, Gujarat will get more active.
Were there any project sales which kind of, you know, drove this revenue growth for us? I mean, or it was more of a retail-driven kind of a growth for us? I'm just trying to understand the sustainability of, you know, the kind of growth we have seen.
So, Viraj, you are in touch with us. You know it very well. Our focus has largely been in the area of retail sales and working with farmers, leveraging our strength of Mahindra brand. And we have a huge network of Samriddhi centers, as you know, which are working with farmers on offering advisory services, soil testing. But recently we are also, you know, evaluating options on project. But largely we are retail and farmer-oriented operations we have had.
Okay. And last question, you know...
Yes. Yeah. Viraj, I think you had good questions. Thanks. Maybe somebody else can come in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Prem Raheja from Mukund Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I actually had two questions. This was the first conference call by EPC. Could Mr. Sharma just throw some color on the size of the opportunity for the micro-irrigation market that EPC is involved in at this point of time?
And the second question?
Second question is that we have two subsidiaries. One is the Green Top House, and I think that there is something to do with solar panel cleaning as well. So can you throw some color on that as well, please?
So thanks, Greg. Thanks for coming on the call. And I like your approach of throwing some color. We are a bit away from the sea.
Yeah.
Some color.
Yeah.
If you look at micro irrigation industry, now in India, we have roughly 70 million hectares available for arable land is, you know, used. Out of that, around 10 to 12% covered with micro irrigation. It varies from state to state. So certain states like Gujarat, Andhra, they have much higher penetration. Now, if you look at the industry, there is no published or very accurate data available, but based on estimates, based on our market intelligence, the industry is around 5,000 crores for micro irrigation.
Okay.
And there are four or five companies, let's say top five companies, would be contributing roughly 45 to 50% of the industry. And then you have maybe the balance 50%. It's a very industry which has got many players, but the top four or five players contribute to half the industry.
Okay.
If you look at the situation today in India and the world, I think the whole challenge the world is facing is the challenge of water and climate change. Water scarcity and climate change. Now, that has put a lot of pressure on agriculture. And as a result, many countries, and including ours, are more and more understanding the importance of water management. Water management not only in terms of saving water, which of course is an evident benefit of micro irrigation, but also the way micro irrigation treats the plant and gives the right kind of water at the right time helps the plant to get best results from the soil and have the maximum yield. So if you look at the need for micro irrigation, I think now our country in the last 15-20 years has come a long way in terms of understanding the importance. The governments are trying their best, and there are various schemes which the governments are doing. And if you look at the potential, with 90% of the land still not having micro irrigation, and state government giving subsidy from 50% to 80%, so it's very affordable for the farmers to go for this technology. And companies like ours are helping the farmers, not only giving the product, because that can be a big challenge if the only product is given. We are also giving the whole know-how in terms of how to use the product, in terms of agronomy, in terms of continuous support, and helping the farmer. And this is being done by the industry. Many companies are doing that. And that's a very positive thing about this industry. So if you ask me, in the next 3 to 5 years, clearly I can see on a sustainable basis a double-digit growth for the industry, maybe 10 to 12% in the next 5 years. But having said this, since many of you are, would have been interested in having similar interest, this industry has a very peculiar characteristic that is largely impacted by the policies of the state government, and which also is impacted due to various factors. So for example, now we are sitting in January. Now with the central elections planned somewhere in May, from March end or early April, we might have this election code of conduct. And for almost 2 to 2.5 months, there will be a lull in the industry because the whole machinery will be involved in other activities and they would not be processing the order work orders for the farmers. Then we also have Maharashtra and Andhra going for state elections this year, which also affects the business. So we'll have these, you know, state to state, quarter to quarter ups and downs. Some years will be better than others and some quarters will be better than others. It's very difficult to predict very carefully that, you know, quarter on quarter how the industry will go because of these factors. And just to wrap up this conversation, in terms of water, we are all seeing that the overall availability of water in terms of monsoon and also in terms of the spread of the monsoon is becoming very erratic. And we are seeing concentrated bursts of water availability, which may or may not be, which is not very suitable for the crop. And we expect that the farmers are also now understanding the need for effective water management. And this year, if I have to be very specific, in the last 3-4 years, the post-monsoon rainfall has been the lowest in the last 5 years, and almost down by 45% to 50%. So clearly it puts a lot of pressure in the agriculture system. But from a micro irrigation point of view, it creates a much higher level of sensitivity in the farmers and the government to promote this concept. And that's what I mentioned in the first call to first answer to Viraj, that many new state governments are also taking a lot of interest. And clearly micro irrigation can help the farmers, and perhaps the incidence of loan waivers, etc., which is not the, you know, solution to the problem. It's more of dealing with the symptom. But technologies like micro irrigation, hybrid seeds, good package of practices, access to markets, this ability to manage the post-harvest losses, and creating a free market are the long-term solutions. And the government is moving towards that. So I'm quite bullish in terms of the micro irrigation industry from that perspective.
So just lastly on the greenhouse business, and maybe
I have a question over here. You asked about greenhouse and also solar cleaning. I'll talk about that.
Okay.
At greenhouse. Now, our big strength of EPC is our connect with farmers. We are right there in the farm. We are focusing on the retail segment. We interact with farmers. And what we realize that because of climate change, there are huge challenges farmers face. And very simple technologies, which are not necessarily very costly in terms of potato cultivation, if used well, can improve the productivity and more important, protect the farmer from the risk of weather to a significant extent. So with that vision, we studied this whole space of greenhouse, and we realized that we need to offer solutions which are state-of-the-art, high technology, which can be applicable to small to large farmers. And also there's a large segment of institutions which are looking for very specialized solutions with high level of automation, computerized, and high degree of precision. And with that thought process, we identified Top Greenhouse, which is into it's an Israeli company with more than 20 years experience in greenhouse. And they have a very vast range of products, right from small to for small farms up to very sophisticated applications. And they have specialized products for nurseries and for aeroponics and different kind of applications. So we see this business or the industry, which is currently around 1,000 crores and of greenhouse, and around 700 crores I would say is farmer driven, and around 300 crores would be institutional driven. This company also has subsidy. This industry also is driven by subsidy, but the subsidy mechanism is also controlled through the central government. So it has a different dynamics. And we think that in the next 5 to 7 years, there will be the next wave where farmers will, at least the larger farmers, medium farmers, will move towards this technology. Another trend which we are seeing is the demand from modern retail and from consumers for high quality differentiated products across the year. This also is a good opportunity for the farmers to provide, use greenhouse technologies for those farmers. So it's the first step. We have started this journey. Of course, it will take us time to build the capabilities and the scale. And with this JV, we are de-risking ourselves for technology risk. And we think that will be a good potential. Coming to solar cleaning panels, given the fact that we are already into water management and we have our own group company, Mahindra Sustain, we had this request from them if you could find some solutions. So we are working with them to find solutions for helping solar companies to manage their cleaning need, because it's very difficult for solar companies to deploy manpower in remote locations and the cost of cleaning is prohibitive. But that's not our core business. Our core business is farmer and micro irrigation and farm productivity and product cultivation. My friend tells me that only 10 minutes are remaining, so I'm now taking a pause here for the next question.
Sure, thank you. The next question is from the line of Srimad Dedia from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Ashokji, and congrats on good set of number, and look forward to company doing a conference call post every quarter going forward. I have three questions. Firstly, on the working capital cycle, is it different from what was reported in the first half balance sheet, or it's been the same? That's the first question. Second question is on capacity utilization at your Nasik and Vadodara plant, and what are the plans for expansion? And third is, if you could quantify the contribution from the project's revenue in the current quarter's sales. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, and thank you very much for your wishes and good blessings for the company's future. Thank you very much for that. So let me first talk about our whole strategy on manufacturing. See, what we realized, Mr. Srimant, right?
Yeah, Srimant.
Srimant, since you called me Ashokji, I'll call you Srimant. What we realized is that as we are growing as a company, it's very important that we go closer to the market and closer to the farmers to reduce our logistics cost and make our supply chain more efficient. Mm-hmm. With that, we opened the first facility in Baroda. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to tell you that with that opening of the facility, we have gained at least 2-3% saving for those products manufactured over there. Mm-hmm. And we are also now opening a plant in Coimbatore, where we want to meet the needs of this growing market of Tamil Nadu. Now, in terms of capacity utilization, as you know, this business is a quite seasonal business, and quarter two is kind of a bit dull quarter, and quarter four is at its peak. So depending on the quarter, we have to manage. But if I look at the overall utilization of the plant, we would be utilizing around 70-75% of the total capacity. And in 6 months, our plants work 3 shifts and 100%. And we use good methods like TPM, which ensures that our plants have machines have minimum breakdown, and our plant is very focused on keeping the uptime very high. And you'll be happy to know that by using some very innovative manufacturing technologies, we're able to produce machines at much lower cost and offer the products with minimum capex. Now coming to working capital, yes, working capital is one of the very big challenges of the industry. And this is something which we as a company has always been very mindful of. And actually we have in the past also taken the decision to trade off growth with working capital, because we realize that to be sustainable, we want to have a right balance between the both the things. Mm-hmm. Having said that, in terms of debtors, in absolute terms, we have kind of reduced in this quarter. Number of days would be similar. And the good news is that by and large, what targets we have set for ourselves for this year, for working capital, we are in line with those targets. And we believe we are amongst the better companies in terms of working capital management in the industry. We can take one more question, Ramesh.
And I was looking also the contribution from the projects in the current quarter.
Oh, sorry for that, Srimad. Our contribution is very less. It's less than 10%. As I mentioned in the first call to Viraj, this is not our focus. But yes, we are building capability and step by step we'll go. We see big risk in the project of very delayed payment, and the margins are very tight. So we don't rush into it and have problems in the time to come.
Right. Okay. And what is the target working capital cycle towards the end of the year that you said, you know, you are in line achieving that target?
You know, this varies from quarter to quarter and market to market. Mm-hmm. We have our own internal ideas in terms of what kind of ROC we are targeting. And depending on the market, we have to also take the right trade-off, as I mentioned, between revenue and working capital. Mm-hmm. So we would not like to declare a specific number because it's all depending on various factors. For example, let's say now we're getting into this whole election area. Now, 3 months, we know there's not going to be any payment. 2 to 3 months. Okay. Or less payment, let me put it that way. So now we need to plan it differently. So this is a bit dynamic in that sense. And I don't want to give a number and then, you know, say that this happened and happened. It varies quarter to quarter. But what I can tell you is that definitely we are on the better performance compared to the industry.
Sure. Thank you.
Can we take one more last question?
Yeah. Sure, sir. The next question is from the line of Rahul Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Sharma, first of all, thank you for holding the phone call. Mm-hmm. And congratulations on a very good set of quarterly numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of questions. The first question is regarding the size of the industry. In your earlier conversation with Prem Raja, you mentioned that it's 5,000 crore growing at about 7-8%.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you said that 90% of the land in India is non-irrigated, I mean, not micro-irrigated.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that the total size of the opportunity is 45,000 crore?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Is that the question? The 40,000 is what? It's the project size?
No. What I'm saying is that the total size of the industry currently is 5,000 crore.
Potential.
Right? Yeah. And the total... you mentioned in your talk earlier that 90% of the land in India is still not irrigated.
I got it, Rahul. Is there any other question?
No. That's fine.
So Rahulji, thank you very much for coming on the call, and you are an individual investor, so I'm sure you've been, been with the company for a long time. See, if you look at the potential, it's 69 million, 70 million hectares. If you look at countries which are developed and highly modernized in agriculture, they would have penetration of micro-irrigation ranging from 55, 60 to around 85%. I think India will take long time to reach that level. So theoretically, you're right. From a potential standpoint, one can argue that that is the kind of potential what you talked about, 40,000 crores. But the way I mentioned before, that given the readiness of farmers, given the ability of the state governments to manage so much subsidies effectively, given the ability of companies to successfully install and give value to the farmers. We expect that 10 to 12% CAGR for the next 5 years is a reasonable CAGR. Now, you can do your math. In 10 to 12%, maybe this 10% penetration might go up to 20%, 22%. And that's a journey. So from a long-term standpoint, next 10, 15, 20 years, clearly, I am convinced that this percentage penetration will move significantly upwards. But I also mentioned that there will be some quarters which will, you know, just not meet the long-term plan, and there will be long-term, it will move towards higher penetration for sure. So with this, I would like to thank each one of you. I am told we have many of you on the call, and I am so happy that you all could make it despite our short notice. It just shows your passion for the farmers and interest in our company. So I request you to please continue that, and all of us are here to see what best we can do to the farmers and for our shareholders. So I would like to thank each one of you and wish you a nice evening and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of EPC Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.